After my brother and I personally created thousands of pieces of content, built over 10 million followers, managed millions in mobile app spend, helped apps get millions of users, millions of followers, and billions of views, working with companies like Y Combinator, Mindvalley, and Cloak, we decided to start this podcast to share everything we learned along the way. I hope you share it with a fellow mobile app founder and enjoy. Welcome to the Ultimate Paid Ads Masterclass for Mobile Apps. If you're trying to get millions and millions of downloads to your mobile app at a very cheap cost through paid ads with users that actually stick around and use your app, this masterclass will teach you every single thing that you need to know. But why should you listen to me and why should you care? Well, it's great to meet you. My name is Sai Kara, and I am the co-founder of Trendify along with my brother Shrieker. This is me on the right, if you can't tell, and that's my brother on the left. I started my content creation journey at the age of 6, posting videos online, specifically on YouTube, trying to become a full-time influencer one day like every kid out there. But fast forward 10 years, my brother and I cracked a short-form algorithm, amassing 10 million plus followers across our personal accounts. And then since there, we had tons of apps reaching out to us, asking if we could get them more installs through our accounts. And as we helped apps get hundreds of thousands of followers and hundreds of thousands of downloads, we realized something. What if we were able to do this more predictably for them at scale? Instead of them relying on our own personal accounts, how can they actually get users that convert to their app? And that's when we launched Trendify. And since then, we've driven millions of users to various mobile apps, managed millions of dollars in ad spend, helped apps get millions of organic followers, drove billions of organic views to various mobile apps, worked with 50 plus mobile apps, and you can go take a look at some of our case studies on our website, including companies like Y Combinator, Mindvalley, and Cloaked, working with apps, not spending any money on paid ads, to some apps spending millions and millions of dollars a month. And we have pretty much done it all. We don't do anything else except scale mobile apps through paid ads. And so that's exactly why I am making this tutorial for you. And by the end of it, you will learn everything, such as when to start paid ads and when you shouldn't, how to measure success with the right KPIs, the psychology behind paid ads, how to create high converting ad creatives, the media buying process, how to actually build an insanely killer creative team. That means the creators that actually create the content for you, running flywheel campaigns, and structuring your ads across the whole entire funnel. So this is going to be a 10-day masterclass, and today we're going to be diving into a few things that will be extremely, extremely important for you. Now, if you're already running paid ads to your mobile app, this information might save you a bunch of money and cut down your CPIs. And if you've never run paid ads to your mobile app, this is also going to be super, super helpful. So let's dive right in. Okay, so when do you actually start paid ads for your mobile app? So there's really only three specific times you should think about running paid ads. One is you don't have a high LTV, but you want to use paid ads to increase your LTV through data. So LTV basically stands for lifetime value. It is one of the most important metrics when you actually run and scale your mobile app. It's in order for you to understand how much each user is worth. So you take all of your users that have ever used your app, and you basically look at the average of how much they spend. So let's say you have 10 users and each of them spend $1. Your LTV is $1 because that's the average of spend. So if your LTV is low, but you believe you can optimize it through product improvements, paid ads can help you gather the data you need in order to make those optimizations. So here's an example. Let's say your current LTV is $10 and you're only retaining users for a short period of time. Paid ads can show you exactly where users are dropping off, what messaging resonates with different audiences, and how to improve the onboarding experience. We recently had an app that we worked with that had a really big drop off on extension activation. So basically the way their app worked is you download the app and then you have to activate an extension. And they were able to use the data on paid ads in order for them to make product improvements. So they smoothened up the onboarding process and they made things a lot simpler. And now their extension activation is a whole lot better. So that's an example of why you would run paid ads in order to collect data. A big thing that I see founders struggling with is that they don't know exactly how to get mobile app installs. And the people that they're able to get mobile app installs from are their friends or family. So yes, they'll use the app. Yes, they'll download it. They might even pay for it to be a good sport, but they might not actually be your ideal user. So it's really hard for you to make predictions on where your drop off is. And this really will help you do everything you need to in order to scale. Because once you get all of these different things right, such as onboarding process, such as the subscription page, that's actually when you're able to scale your paid ads because you know your LTVs. Okay, now the second scenario is you don't know your LTV and need to test. So, like a lot of new apps, if you literally just launched and you have no idea what your LTVs are, running paid ads can help you gather this information really, really quick. So, obviously, without metrics like these, scaling becomes nearly impossible. And for early stage apps, running ads is definitely less about profitability. I mean, that's obviously the end goal, but it's more about validation. So it's like, are users willing to pay for your product? How much are they worth over time? What's the cost to acquire them? So we've seen some apps that have never run ads before that are just able to build like killer acquisition machines because they're very profitable from the get-go. But I'd want to say like 99% of apps don't really get to this, and they just really want to understand what their LTVs are. And then last but not least, you have super high LTVs. This is really like the pinnacle of when you should be running paid ads. So let's say you already have really high LTVs and you know that people who use your app are spending, whatever that number is to you, and you're in a position to be able to run paid ads profitably. So high LTV basically means you can afford higher acquisition costs. There's a great quote. I don't know exactly who said it, but he who can spend the most on or he who makes the most on the back end can spend the most on acquiring a customer. So what that basically means is like if you know a customer, a user will pay you $100, that means you can justify spending $30 to acquire them. Where a lot of apps would only make like $5 on the back end, and then they have to really scramble to see exactly how they can make acquisition costs work out. And so if you have a really high LTV, this is all you really need to do in order to scale profitably. And really, like paid ads should be treated as an investment, not an expense. If you are in one of these three categories, you can confidently leverage paid ads as a growth engine. Now, you might hear some backlash on this. You might get some backlash on this from other people. This is what we've seen work really well. And if you know that you're tied to running your app for the next how many ever months slash years, then it's a really, really good sign, and that you should totally just start running ads and figuring out what works and what doesn't. Obviously, there's some caveats there. If you have a decent bit of money, you're willing to test, you're willing to learn, highly, highly recommend. Okay, cool. So let's talk a little bit about goals and KPIs. What is success and what does it mean for your app? So really the big thing, and alluding to the point that I made earlier, is following the long-term mindset. A lot of founders expect ads to work within a few days, and it can take months, if not years, to crack. I tell the story all the time, but we used to work with an app that wasn't really seeing any growth from their paid ads. Their CAC was just super, super high, and the founders were super down. They really liked what we were doing for them, and we just told them, "Hey, like, trust us. This might take a little bit of time, but it will work out." They trusted us, and then they were able to scale to a ton of users, and their app is just like absolutely crushing right now, and they're able to get to the CPI that they wanted to. Now, I know that's a pretty vague story. However, this is a really good way for me to show companies and apps that it can take a while in order to crack. And a great way to think about this is like if you had a money-making machine, how long would you invest into it if you knew that one day for every dollar you put in, you would get $2 out? It's like you're investing in a money-making machine. And paid ads work in the same exact way, given that you have a good product and given that you're willing to improve on the product that you are creating. Over time, it will become profitable and scalable. So just to recap, one of the key metrics that you really, really need to know is LTV. That's lifetime value, the total revenue a customer generates over their lifetime. And this is usually like an average. Second is CAC, which is customer acquisition costs. You'll hear me using this word a lot. I know for a lot of you founders out there, this is like really, really simple back of napkin math. But I promise you, the more you're able to understand these and see them in a mobile app scenario, the more things will make sense for you. So again, even if you're making millions of dollars a month or spending millions of dollars a month on your paid ads for your app, this will be super, super helpful. Okay, third, customer acquisition cost. That's the cost to acquire one paying customer. And then third is CPI. That's cost per install, the cost to get a user to install your app. And that's, again, these are all averaged out numbers. And then the last thing is LTV to CAC ratio. So this is something that's really interesting in the business world. What that means is that LTV to CAC ratio is the ratio between your lifetime value to CAC. So let's say your lifetime value is $30 and your customer acquisition cost, meaning the amount of money it costs for, on average, someone to actually pay you through your app, what does that cost? So your LTV, let's say it's $30, your CAC is $10. That's the 3-to-1 ratio. And ideally, this ratio should be 3-to-1 or higher. And when you get to 3-to-1 ratio, that's when you know you can just like scale, just scale. And a lot of times, apps don't really have any crazy fixed costs, service costs. So once you're able to get to this, you literally just step on the gas and scale your ad spend. Okay, so why do these metrics actually matter? If your LTV to CAC ratio is low, you will lose money on every new user. A healthy paid ad strategy basically means that your LTV is increasing. Ideally, so Salesforce has something called net negative churn, and that's a really popularized term in the mobile app world now, and just like in software in general. Basically, what that means is if you were to change nothing, you were to get no new users, the user that you currently have will end up being worth more to you as they progress in their journey. So Salesforce, basically what they do, I believe if I'm right, is they, let's say you're using their CRM, the more users you get, the more people you have on your team, the more you end up paying. And the reason they have net negative churn is because on average, people that use the platform end up paying more month over month than the month they paid before. And that's really what you want to get to. Again, this is a lot easier said than done. However, it is something that is, again, the pinnacle of scaling your mobile app. Okay, second, CAC is decreasing due to better creatives, audience targeting, and funnel optimization. And now this is what I will be spending most of my time on during this 10-day masterclass. How do you actually decrease your CAC and keep it there at scale? And you'd be surprised. You'd think that all, like 99.9% of it does come down to your product, which I do agree with you. But let's say you do have a phenomenal product and you're spending like, you know, $10 per install. If you're able to get that down to a couple of bucks, you're saving a lot of money on your paid ads. And you're just saving a lot of money in general, and you can justify spending more, which will in turn make you more money. And then the last thing is just having a clear roadmap for scaling, which again, we will talk about. Okay, cool. So, key takeaway here is just that paid ads require patience and iteration. Just set clear KPIs, track data, and play the long-term game. Your acquisition costs will steadily decrease, making growth a lot more sustainable. Now, this is a lot of theoretical stuff, but I promise you it will get very, very tactical really, really soon. But in order for you to understand the tactics, you need to understand theory. Okay, so have you ever thought about how paid ads actually work? And I want you to take a second to think about it. Like, what do paid ads actually mean? Why is Mark Zuckerberg making so much money? why are these different, you know, founders of these companies raking in hundreds of billions of dollars every single year? That's because of paid ads, and you can utilize it to make a lot of money. So most people think of advertising as simply getting someone's attention. And the analogy I hear a lot of time from people, influencers, founders, is like, you're trying to get someone in a crowd to notice your app, right? I want to get someone in a crowd, a massive, massive crowd, to stop and look at my app. And while this is somewhat right, the way I like to see it, especially with such short attention spans on social media now, it's not about getting someone in a crowd. It's about getting someone in a moving crowd who is focused on getting to the next place to stop and download your app. So basically what that means is that every single person in that massive crowd, let's say it's millions and millions of people, are trying to get to their next piece of organic content that's going to hit their dopamine receptors and make them feel good, which is basically all the algorithm is. And then your job as a founder is in between the video that they're about to see, which is like the organic, cool dopamine video, you put in a paid ad. And you want the paid ad to be so good that that person who's so focused on getting to the next video will stop, look at your video, download the app, and actually use it. And now I know that seems like a lot and it's really difficult to do. It is, for sure, but that's exactly why your creative matters a lot. And that's exactly what we're gonna be talking about. Okay, so the core concept, how paid ads actually work. Platforms like Meta and TikTok have captured attention. Basically, what that means is like they own attention. You think about influencers or people that have tons of followers. Oh yeah, they own attention. Yes, but you know who owns the most attention? The platforms themselves, which is why they make more money than any influencer you'll ever know. And they figured out a really good way to monetize that attention through paid ads. And you can make money through paid ads because the way it basically works is the way Mark Zuckerberg makes money, or like Chu from TikTok makes money, is they have the attention and you pay for that attention. And so if they're able to give your ads the metrics they deserve and the profitability that it deserves, then you're gonna keep paying them. So their whole entire goal is to make you succeed. If you succeed, they make more money because again, it costs nothing to them because they own the attention already. Okay, and again, you're just paying this platform to show your ad to their users. Another term, CPM, you'll hear me throw this around a good bit. That's basically cost per 1,000 impressions. CPM stands for milli, which means per 1,000. And so the more competitive your industry, the higher your CPM will be. So Every single ad has its own CPM. That's basically how much ads actually cost. You'll see on different platforms, like if you're running ads on LinkedIn, their CPMs are just like absolutely ridiculously high because it's targeting business owners. So you'll find more in like the financial slash business owner niche that CPMs are higher because Meta and these platforms and LinkedIn know that you'll pay more to acquire a business user because they can usually afford more. The more competitive your industry, again, the higher your CPM will be. This is an important metric to look at. However, it's not like everything that's really needed. It really just comes down to what your CAC is. And I'll show you exactly how you can drive that down in a little bit. Okay. And then number three, algorithms prioritize content people engage with. So if people skip your ad, Meta and TikTok will deprioritize it, basically meaning that they will make your ad cost higher because if people are skipping your ad, they make no money and you also make no money. So like their algorithms are just really good at what they do, which is why creative is so, so important in running paid ads. Okay. Now, the golden rule of paid ads is that no matter how much you pay Meta or TikTok, if your ads suck, they will not convert. Your ad must be relatable, either relatable, which feels like native content, either entertaining, which stops the scroll, or informative, and that clearly communicates value. With organic content getting increasingly competitive, the bar for paid ads is like higher than it ever has been. And obviously you're paying for people to see it, so you can do whatever you want with that attention. But it keeps getting harder and harder, which is why we spend 90% of our time on the creative itself. And we've tested over 5,000 pieces of paid ads. And that's exactly what I'm sharing and showing you exactly what lessons we've learned along the way. Okay, so key takeaway from this, if your ad feels like an ad, it's dead. great ads don't feel like ads. They feel like content people actually wanna watch. And we'll talk about this more when we talk about creatives specifically, but the best way that I like to think of it is like you're on FaceTime with your friend and you're telling them about this cool product that you saw. And that's kind of the tone that you wanna go for when recording your paid ads, or else it's gonna sound like an ad. You want it to be relatable. Okay, so the power of creative in paid advertising. So many marketers obsess over like the technical aspects of media buying. You'll hear a lot of people talking about, oh, dude, you see this new pixel integration or this new 38 megapixel campaign that drove crazy installs because of the cookies we were catching on the back. And like, that's all a lot of just like marketing BS. The real truth is that none of that matters if your creative is weak. I mean, yes, obviously you need to give some importance to media buying, audience targeting, pixel tracking, all of that stuff. But if you're unable to have good creative, none of that matters. So the video or image must be compelling enough to grab attention, regardless of the algorithm or the pixel optimization or bidding strategy. And pixel optimization for mobile apps is like using an MMP like AppsFlyer, which again, I'll talk more about. The harsh reality, and it can be harsh if you choose for it to be harsh, is that 90% of your success in paid ads will come from the creative. And if you aren't spending at least 90% of your time perfecting it, you are 100% doing it wrong. So what really makes a paid ad effective? And that's exactly what we're going to break down. But before we do that, you're probably wondering who actually creates the content. And if you're running ads right now, again, you're spending a lot of money on paid ads. This is still a really good exercise if you're thinking about having someone on your team record ads to make them more relatable, or someone told you as a founder to record founder-led content. Should you do founder-led content, or should you stick with using external creators? And if you've never run paid ads, same exact question goes to you. So this is really the billion-dollar question. Who actually creates the content? I get this question every single time. And funny story, we had a coaching program in 2024 where we would teach mobile app founders how to do exactly what we do. And we had a lot of founders ask, like, do I create the content? Do I have someone else create the content? And basically the way our model worked then is we'd give them a few creatives and we'd also coach them on how to record content themselves. The business model, unfortunately, ended up suffering because we learned, again, the very hard way that founders are founders. They're not creators. And I'll talk a little bit more about this, but just keep that in the back of your head. And you'll probably be able to like put two and two together when you think about you making content. So there's really only two ways to create content for your paid ads. One is founder-led content, that means you or someone else on your team records the ads, or that's external UGC creators. That's hiring a professional creator to make the ads. Okay, so founder-led content. The big question is, should you be the face of the brand? So I'll give you the pros and cons of both and then kind of let you make a decision from there. However, I will probably persuade you into making one decision over the other. Okay, pros of founder-led content. One, it immediately builds trust. pretty self-explanatory. You're the face of the company, builds trust faster. Two, very authentic. Again, pretty self-explanatory. Like you, your direct communication style is what is going to build you a loyal following. And this is a pretty controversial example now, but Elon Musk and Tesla, like despite the controversy, a lot of people are loyal to him because they like his direct style of communication. And that's really what, that's ideally what you want to get to. Not saying that you need to be Elon, but just having a very loyal following. That's obviously what you want. And then third, you know your app best. You can speak better about your product with passion and clarity better than most UGC creators. And usually 9 times out of 10, this is kind of what like founders tell us when they want to record founder like content. I love it. I say, hey man, like totally agree with you. Let me just tell you about the cons. And the last thing, it's free. I'll tell you why it's not really free. You don't need to pay a creator. You just record, edit, and post. Simple, right? No, wrong. So here are the cons of founder-led content. And this is why they pretty much take over all of the pros. One, it's a massive, massive time suck. I had, when I first created my first piece of content, this is before I was a founder. This was in 2021, before we actually took off. Again, I created tons of content before that. But when I was focused on short form content, I think that was my first short form piece of content I put out. My brother had already gone viral. He was studying at UC Berkeley at the time, and then COVID hit. And so during his time at UC Berkeley, like right when classes were like shutting down, he started creating content online. And his first video took off and got like 100,000 views. He figured out the algorithm. He kept posting. He came back to home, and then he was like, Sai, you need to get on this. And then I was like, you know what? Fine, let me do it. And my first video, it was like a 30-second video that had maybe 5 screens and like 5 talking points. It took me 2.5 hours to record, and it sucked. And I thought it would be the best video ever. I was like, I got my brother by my side. He figured out the algorithm, man. 2.5 hours for 100,000 views. What? Like, I'll totally do that. I post the video. I keep refreshing. And I have no more than 7 views. And I just felt like I wasted all of my time. And so I say this to show you that it's not easy. Like, it's not easy at all. And that's me coming from a content creation background. Like, I get content. But if you've never created content before, I urge you to try, and you will understand how increasingly difficult it gets when you go from actually thinking about it to recording it. Really quick, guys, my brother and I spend a ton of time putting together free content like this. And if you're enjoying so far, it would mean the world if you could leave a review and share this with a fellow mobile app founder. For all you know, this podcast could be the unlock to them building a $1 billion app, and you will be forever remembered for sending it to them. Now back to the show. Okay, so the second thing is that trial and error will crush you. Your first 10 to 20 videos will probably flop. You just don't understand how to speak to a camera, and that's totally okay. It's just how it works, right? Like, I'm not blaming you for doing that. You just will not understand how to create content that actually performs. And I do please hope you prove me wrong, and shoot me a text or like a comment on this video letting me know that you prove me wrong. Third, it will take you hours away from your business. Like, I talked about fixed costs, how it doesn't technically cost you money, but it will cost you a lot of money. Like, dude, you should be spending time making your app better. Like, what are you doing? You don't need to be recording content all day long unless you have a system for it, and unless you have a lot of money where you can justify paying a videographer, an editor, and someone who understands short form content. If you don't, like, just focus on your product. Let a UGC creator handle it. And the last thing is your emotional roller coaster. So I've seen so many founders get super hyped about recording their content. They're like, yeah, dude, I'm great on camera. I'll just record my own ads. And they try to record 1 take, 2 takes, 10 takes. And then a long time later, they still don't have a usable video. And then this is kind of like the story of me. They wait. They finally upload the ad. They wait. They refresh their dashboard. After 24 hours, they have 0 conversions, and they spent like hundreds of dollars on it. And then they start questioning everything, and then just go to emotional turmoil. And then they question why they built their business. Is their business model viable? Is their app actually worth it? Should he spend time focusing on something else, or should you go get a full-time job? And it's like the mental weight that will destroy you. So what do you do, Sai? How do I not do this? That is why you should use external UGC creators. Instead of spending countless hours recording content, you can hire professionals to do this for a living. And these are UGC creators, user-generated content creators. That basically means it's generated by a user, meaning a person who gets content. And they specialize in making ads that feel organic and don't look like ads. This is what we use. We have a team of some killer UGC creators. That's how we're able to get results for so many clients. The pros of UGC creators, they get content, you don't. Content is very, very early. Like short form content became a thing, like an actual thing in like 2019. And so it is a skill that is extremely, extremely valuable, and they live and breathe social media. Like this is all they've been doing for the past few years. Second, they scale your content production. You might struggle to record one ad per day. They can pump out 10 plus a day with ease. Third, extreme time saving. You focus on scaling your business. Fourth, they sound more natural. Even though you think you know more about your product, they understand how to speak to audiences in a very authentic way. Like that's literally what they get paid for. And then last thing, many UGC creators can edit their own content, and it just removes another major bottleneck that's waiting on an editor. The cons is that they cost money. They can charge anywhere from 100 to 1,000 bucks a video. You might find cheaper rates than this. It's just really, really difficult. And if budget is a big thing for you, again, like maybe paid ads aren't something that you should 100% be exploring at this moment. Two, you lose some control. Creators won't follow your script word for word. If you're a control freak, this can be frustrating. That's honestly like the biggest con I can see is just like, don't be a control freak. And a lot of times when we work with founders that end up telling us exactly what to do, like we send over a script and then they pinpoint and say, this word needs to be changed to this. And then we send it, and it's just a ton of just like nitpicking, which in their mind, like totally makes sense. But that's when you become a control freak, and that's when things get messy. Like let your creators do their thing, let your agencies do their thing, as long as you know what their process looks like. Because as soon as you start to micromanage, the creators will not enjoy working for you. And you will see this firsthand. Like if you're super just like nitpicky, one, write your own scripts. That's something that you can save you a lot of just like nitpick. And two, just let the creator do their own thing. I mean, just trust them. Okay. And then the other big con, this is probably the biggest one, is you need a system to manage them. This is why we built Trendify, because we have all these systems internally that's like scripting out the content, assigning content, tracking revisions, ensuring quality, invoicing, hiring, firing. Like there's a lot of stuff that goes into this. Contracts, you know, NDAs, video editing software, purchasing, you know, creator bonuses. And we'll talk about a lot of these things, but it is definitely a big system that you need to manage. And then last thing, not every single creator will match your brand. Finding the right creator takes testing. And just because someone has great energy does not mean that they will convert for your audience. Okay. So now that we have covered all of this, this is probably where I am going to put a halt on this video. Next section, I'm going to be showing you exactly how to find and scale UGC creators, scaling your creators' performance, how to build an awesome creator team, how to incentivize them, how the contract process works, you know, the system management, everything that you need to know in order to build an incredible, incredible creator team. So just to cover what we have discussed so far, we have covered chapter one and two and three. So we've covered a good bit in this video. And then in the next video, it will be a lot more meaty, a lot more tactical, a lot more dense. I'm going to show you exactly how to scale your creators and optimize your performance. So this is for people who are kind of already running ads, looking to find creators, or are looking to scale their current creator team, want to use incentives for their team, want to build an awesome creator culture. And this is something that's really, really cool. And I geek out about, because you think about a lot of these crazy like sales books that I probably have some back there that teach you how to build an incredible sales team. This is super new, and this is exactly how we build creator teams. And I think it's super, super, super valuable. And you guys will totally just like eat this up. How do you build a high performing creator team? And how do you do it meticulously? How do you do it in a way where people want to work for you? And how do you do it in a way that doesn't totally blow up your bank, that where incentives are fully aligned? Okay, cool. That's all from me. I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your day, and I'll see you in the next one.